Welcome, everybody, to Inner World, Episode 4. It's been a little while since we got one of these put together, but I'm excited. You know, the inspiration has struck, and I've got some really interesting material here. We're going to be talking about potentially some of history's greatest forgeries, and that's something that people familiar with Dylan's work should be definitely not estranged to that concept. He's done a great job, particularly showing the forgeries of like the church and church history. And I'm super into continuing to pull that thread, maybe in the next episode, because I've actually got about three times more material on this subject than what I'm fitting into this conversation. So this is like the tip of the iceberg stuff. Keep that in mind as we go through. The examples that we'll be talking about are literally the tip of the iceberg. History is fake and gay. And I'm like, I know that's like phrase people say, but in this case, both are pretty much true. So it's going to be a fun mind opening, eye opening experience to examine some of the things I've got. It looks like the Renaissance was the time period where a lot of this forgery really took off. But going back to, like I said, Dylan's work, especially on the early church fathers, things that he's covered, exposed by the Reverend Robert Taylor in the Spirit World book series, demonstrates that this is not like, you know, the Renaissance was not the exception. This is the rule, but because of the maybe closer proximity to us in history that the Renaissance is, we've got a better idea of, you know, like the, despite the fact that the academic mainstream just gobbles up a lot of this stuff, we have a lot better idea of how likely the forgeries were in that time period. Whereas you go back to the early church fathers and they're just admitting it, you know, they're praising it as like it's a service to the church or to God. It's all pretty crazy. And what I want people to come away from this conversation with is an opened up imagination into like not just what happened historically. What is the Roman Empire? Was there such a thing as the ancient Greek world that were sold? It seems like a pretty crazy bow to draw, but as you start to look at sources piece by piece and where documents, manuscripts seem to have come from, the question becomes really wide open that potentially everything we know about history is wrong. Potentially even the year that we think it is wrong. Now, that's something we'll talk about maybe more in a future episode. I'm not ready to go there yet, like challenging the numerical chronology of it all. But this is pretty exciting stuff, because if we're upside down about history, it definitely makes sense that we'd be upside down about modern society. And I'm excited to rectify the record, or at the very least, be ready to toss out that which isn't real. You know, it doesn't take away all value from certain texts if they're forgeries. There could be allegorical truths. Definitely, you can still pull out the keys and fingerprints of the universal priesthood system and astrotheology from these things. You know, or maybe there's even philosophy involved that is at least true allegorically, right? So, I, you know, we don't have to throw all the babies out with the bathwater, but this is a huge can of worms to open up. Dylan, I want to kick it over to you. What you think about, you know, forged history, especially of your homeland, Rome and Italy?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited for this, because for the audience who sees this, all of you guys, I'm getting this from Chance the first time. So it's all fresh for me, just like it's going to be for you who watch it. So thanks for putting this together. And when I hear you talk about the greatest forgeries, I'm ecstatic to see what you've got in store for me. And I'll be able to give my reaction. And I also want to give credit. I haven't really discovered any forgeries of like the historical things. A lot of them I learned through other researchers. And I just, because I read so many old texts, I am meticulous. Whatever I do in life, I chart my progress. And so at the end of my research, I had all these notes of different people talking about forgeries and demonstrating why they are forgeries. And so I kind of put as many of them together in a succinct way that it was pertinent to the Spirit World series. So that's, I just want to make sure I give credit to everybody else that I learned a lot through them. I think where I come into play is because by having to read all these old texts, I ended up kind of like you, learning how to read Hebrew, Greek, Phoenician, Etruscan, and all the other old letters, the alphabetical systems. And once you know what letters a people had at a certain time, then when you see these inscriptions that people discover later on, and they're claimed to be from these times, but they're using letters that those cultures hadn't incorporated into their alphabets yet, you can see that that's fraud. Namely, for example, there's stelae that have that are claimed to be Phoenician, but they use letters like Kaf, which is like they're like a it's like Q, and they didn't have Q in their original alphabet. And so when they're claiming this is from this old time, the fact that they're using the modern system shows you that that's a forgery, or at the very least, it's misstated if it's not a forgery. So I'm very excited about that. And, you know, I was thinking about this in the car yesterday while I was driving, like, what are the implications? And I had to catch myself because I tend to fall into the trap of like that logical fallacy where you say, well, people think this, or people, and it's really, we don't really have the right to speak for other people. So I'm going to try my best. And if you can help catch me when I don't talk about myself, just so I can kind of like cultivate this standard. But when I think of forgery, the problem with it is that it forces you into this situation where you never really get to just accept anything. Like the fact that no matter what we do in life, we have to think about people's angles and human nature. And that can be heartbreaking depending on what kind of person you are, because it puts you in a situation where you're forced to play a game that you really didn't want to play, right? And this could be something as simple as intersexual dynamics and learning how the real hidden nature of the opposite sex for whatever you are and how to negotiate with that. And sometimes that can come across as ruthless or whatever else and cause heartbreak. Sometimes it's having to deal with the way government works and the way we're taught things work. But then there's a whole hidden system under that. So now that, you know, that when you start learning about that and people start learning about the meat grinder of the legal system and how out of control that is, that can cause a lot of internal struggles and all that stuff. And then the same thing with history. And it's like we are taught one thing and it's based on lies. And that can be heartbreaking because now you're forced to realize I can't just even trust basic things like history anymore, because there's that much agenda and people are so eager to put their own spin on things or make up things where there's no available information, and it leads us astray. And if you don't know the truth and you follow that, like the lies or whatever else, it can put you in a situation where you end up going somewhere or being in a dangerous situation that you wouldn't otherwise have been exposed to had they not lied to you. So that's the real problem with lying. And I want to make it clear that, like, I'm not against people who, we all lie to a degree, right? Sometimes we'll do subtle lies where we just don't, we'll say, like, if someone basically says, hey, how are you? And you're like, oh, I'm great, you know? But deep down, you've got some serious problems. You just don't want to make those problems other people's problems. I'm not talking about those kind of lies. I'm talking about these people who go out of their way to create narratives that will influence people to behave a certain way so that they can control them. And that's what we really see going on in this historical record. And I talked about this with Crow, which will be coming up in a couple of weeks. He noticed some implications about, you know, how when we've covered like how in the Gospel of Luke, it talks about how Augustus Caesar taxed the whole world. And there's not one historian in the history of the world that mentions, you know, the Roman Empire, the entire Roman Empire being taxed, let alone the whole world being taxed. So you see this thing that is very bizarre, but Crow noticed that, where he thought about the implications of, well, they might be seeding the idea that pre-programming to get people used to a one world tax. And when you look at that with cryptocurrency and digital money, that's the ultimate agenda for this weird cabal that's trying to control everything. And if the money is not off the record and physical, and you can do what you want with it and not and have that privacy that our ancestors have enjoyed for, you know, the entirety of our nation for the most part, once you get rid of that physical transaction, they now have control. And it's kind of like the same thing with the printing press.
Or once, the homosexual inappropriate behavior with underage people in the Greek philosophers, Roman emperors, leaders, generals, whatever. Like a lot of that could be fake. I mean, a lot of it is demonstrably from forged documents. So is that also a seeding of an idea to make it more acceptable?
Dude, you just gave me chills because now I'm thinking about this. It is. It's like normalizing. What do they call that? Like moving the Overton window.
Yeah.
It's like normalizing this weird, creepy, predatory behavior so that you get in this mindset that that's the way it is. That's how it's always been. And that's, we just got to take it. And we talked privately before we started recording. When you're looking at some of these people you're going to be covering, they have this creepy inverted
physiognomy.
Vibe. Yeah. And the thing that
by the time you're an old person, you have the face you deserve. And if you're like a creepy, dishonest, or even like predatory person, the old guy starts to have like this weird long hooked nose, and his earlobes are dragging down to his shoulder blades, and
they get wolf ears, and they get these like snaggle teeth, and their eyes get beadier. Dude, but
think of an old dude, you know, that's like awesome and always been a good dude, and he looks, you know, continues to look like your ancestor on the book cover. Still looks like a reputable, you know, handsome fella.
Yeah, and he was like in his like 70s, I think, during that. So yeah, it's like
those Star Wars games where if you choose the dark side too many times, your character starts to look more evil. That's real life, guys.
I think it is, because if you think about it just from like a mental aspect, how much your mind impacts how the rest of your body functions. I think that's what it is. And there's no fooling the subconscious. So you can lie to yourself, right? And try to paper over or cover everything up and build these emotional walls. But somewhere deep down in there, your body knows the wrongs it committed, or your mind knows the wrongs. And what gave me chills looking at these people that you showed me is they remind me of the behind the scenes type people that you see in Hollywood. And they're not exposed to the public. The public never sees these people, unless sometimes you'll see them like at a table at an award show. So if you know who they are, you can identify them, but you as a viewer at home, you have no idea who these people are. But there was this really creepy, like socially uncalibrated / poor hygienic, not really good I just don't know how to explain it. I look at all the finer details of everybody I'm around, including I'll look into your ears to see if your ears are fucking grimy. So I'll look at your fingernails. I pay attention to every little detail about people because it tells me everything I need to know about them. And when I see this, there's a lot of this grimy, weird, and like almost like misshapen type of people running things in Hollywood, and they're creepy. And then you see this filter to like all this stuff that's coming out with certain producers that we're not going to talk about because I don't want to open us up to any lawsuits or anything, or just even be associated with them in search engines. But this stuff has been going on for a long time. And I've met people, that famous one that is happening right now that we won't say. I met a girl over a decade ago, and she told me she saw him in the club in a back room getting you know what from a little young white boy. And this was a black woman that told me this, and she had no agenda. We were hanging out on a set. So this stuff
total poofter.
It's been out there for a long time. And there's a whole system in place that covers it up and that sets it up. And then you're seeing in this power structure that they intentionally elevate the untalented people, because without the producing element, these untalented people would suck and wouldn't get any airplay and could never generate their own followings on their own. Whereas the real talented people, you can kick them off. Someone like Owen, for example, you can kick him off and he'll just go do his own thing with his own crowd because he crushes and people actually like him. Whereas everybody else has this like fake element where they need the system to pretend and create a perception that everybody likes them, because that's how the feminine mind works.
I want to add to that. Well, you know, because we're getting a little in the weeds, but this is actually a great point to illustrate that this is exactly how the academic mainstream historical narrative is propped up too. On its own, it has really no merits that allow it to stand, that you can poke holes in things left, right, and center, and it would just fall apart. But because there's this system already in place that holds it up, that is what gives it the longevity and staying power. And, you know, even beyond that, the fact that so much work has been done based on works that can be, if not fully demonstrated to be faked or forged, at least be highly questionable in their origin, that, you know, and then you have the movies and all the pop culture that continues to prop up the worldview that we've been given, that it becomes really monolithic and difficult to shake the foundations of people's perception of history. But it's exactly the same way as like the entertainment industry. There's an entire academic or history industry and has been for a very long time. When we go back to the Renaissance, it's characterized by the interest in classical culture. But we could look at that with a different perspective and say the Renaissance could be characterized by the creation of the idea of the classical culture. And that's a really different thing. In either case, the whole artifacts and manuscripts from the ancient world were a fad. And we'll talk more about that. But there's absolutely, you know, without completely falling prey to the fallacy of appeal to motivation, there's obvious motivation to create stuff out of thin air, like financially, reputationally, all of that. So
I just want to add one thing, because it's not, it is in the weeds, but it's totally pertinent to this. So when I was about to say the feminine mind, there is something that we all need to be aware of, because it's a loophole that gets exploited. We've seen people test this out, where if you can project that, there was one guy who they pretended he was like a heartthrob, like young music star or something like that. And people were following him around in like Vegas or something like that. And he wasn't a real artist, but because they created this appeal, all the young women started flocking to him and were even calling his name out for like autographs or whatever and pretending like they knew who he was to get close to them. So there is this, and it falls under the realm of appealing to authority. Right. Whereas like, and this social construct, if you can create the perception that somebody is popular, that this is right, that this is like the good thing. If enough people look at it like that, it's like a self-fulfilling thing where everybody is attracted to that. Whereas like you could be the best.
And that applies to what is right and true. Like, this is what really happened. This is history, et cetera.
And you could be the best man, you could be better looking, you could have all your ducks in a row, but this other person appears to have more social proof than you because they're good at socializing or faking it till you make it type of deal. And that person will bypass all the filters and be a more attractive option if they, so this is why perception is everything. And so keep these things in mind, and it's not to knock feminine nature, but it is a feminine thing. Whereas guys, our masculine nature is more or less being able to stand up and walk away from the crowd and do his own thing. Whereas women don't really have that option because going back to our ancient past, you know, and like tribe nature and, you know, being separated from the tribe is like death. So it's just right. Something.
A man can have the feminized traits and a woman can have the masculine individualism.
And as they sink the collective like testosterone levels, we're becoming more feminized. And so if you understand this, we're going to be more susceptible to these tricks. That's the whole point of this. And that's why it matters.
Cool, man. What a rousing introduction we've done here. And I think that's a good point to even just cut it for the free preview. We're going to open this by talking about one of the so-called greatest of the historians of the early Roman Empire, Tacitus. And that's a name I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard. We're going to look into where did the manuscripts come from that allegedly demonstrate that he even existed and that the information that we have from those manuscripts is true or verifiable. So that's where we're going to begin. If you guys are curious about all of the death by a thousand cuts attack we're about to make on the history of ancient Rome, it's going to be on Dylan's Substack or on my Patreon or my YouTube membership. Those are the ways you can get it. Dylan, you got anything to say to the free preview crowd before we dig into the meaty stuff?
No, come on over. It's great. And what was nice about what me and Chance are doing, or Chance and I are doing, is you don't have to be subscribed to both of us to get this. So Chance's people, go on his YouTube. He's got a paid member section now, so all of his private stuff will also be viewable on YouTube, on his Patreon. And I think you have one on Rockfin, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah, but we're not putting this on Rockfin because it's not this is only on the other two, because Rockfin is a collective pooled.
Oh, I thought you had a private channel there. Okay, my bad. So yeah, so it's just those, and then on mine and my Substack. And so if you're already subscribed to Chance, you won't have to, don't worry about subscribing to me. But if you're my people and you haven't subscribed to me, like as a paid member or Chance, come on over to mine, and then you can get it that way.
But it's good if you're on both, because you get Dylan's amazing constant articles and you get my premium content. So good times. All right. Goodbye, everybody on the free side.